Thanks, Gary. If you want to, if you would please, and this is not going to be to the end of the lesson or our time together with me, at least, is John chapter or Gospel of John chapter 17. Okay, if we have enough time, we may read the whole chapter. It'll preach on its own. Just let the Lord speak to us about it. But I want to share a little bit from it. The challenge with doing a report on my trip, it really doesn't afford me the time that I really like to develop a message. So I just hit some highlights and some thoughts with that as we go. Okay. For you that know that I work with Advancing Native Missions, you folks that are new to us here, and new to my ministry, that's what I do during the week, and on the weekends oftentimes. And so Advancing Native Missions, it's about helping the Native missionaries themselves, those, the indigenous people, do their work. It's their home, it's their language, it's their culture. And so we come alongside them and we help them. And so my area of focus is Africa. And so I was just recently went there, and I want to share a little bit about that, what I'm doing. And this church has helped me participate in the ministry of A&M. I couldn't do it like I'm able to do it if it wasn't for this fellowship and your kind support of me and as I work with them. Show you Africa, and to show you where the circle is, there is where I've been kind of concentrating the last few years, and that is Cote d'Ivoire, or the Ivory Coast, and Ghana and Togo is where I just recently came from. And there is Ghana, and I always like to try to get the context. Everybody doesn't always know where these places are, so this gives you the location in Africa, and then we kind of zoom in a little bit. And Accra is where I came in at. It's the capital city of Ghana. And then we went up from there to Tamale, and then up to Boga, and at least that's the nickname for it. And they're the areas which we were ministering. And then we shot over to Loma, which is in Togo. That's the capital of Togo. And we were ministering there. We have people there that are involved in the ministry. And this time, this emphasis was on sustainable ministries, and particularly one in particular that we had to follow up on. And sustainable ministries are ministries that, if you don't know that term is such that they're not people that have an umbilical cord connected to America. They're able to raise their own finances through their own work that they're doing, and some of the different businesses that they're doing. And so there has literally been trillions of dollars that have gone into Africa, but really we need some sustainable ministries where they can have their own resources and income and so forth. Literally the continent of Africa, to be very graphic about it, has been raped by so many other countries, and not just America. It's been all around the world. You go there and it literally has many of their resources have been taken from them. And it's very sad when you see that. And so we're trying to, by God's grace, reverse some of that, and as well as come alongside them and not do the colonial thing where we go. They always ask us to speak, but I find that these folks are some of the best Christians I know, and they're doing a great work, and they're serving in many ways better than we could. Later this year, I'm going to be taking maybe three other trips, which is unusual, but I'm going to be going to East Africa as well. I'm going to be going back to West Africa, but I'm also going to be going to Ethiopia, Kenya, as Uganda, and Tanzania. Uganda, you like that, huh? And yes, I'll be working in those areas as well. Looking forward to it. And one of these days, I'm going to drag Justin by the nape of the neck. He's going to come. He's going to teach with us. And I know he'll do a great job. I know they'll love him. And Africa stole my heart years ago in the area of the people. And it's about the people. And we love them. And I don't want to, unless I lived there for a while. And it's a little rough at times. But the people are people who I love and am concerned for and want to see the gospel get to where they are. The continent of Africa, for the most part, is very young. They're very young people. The gospel's going there, and is going more and more, even from the west to the southern hemisphere. And so when you're looking at Africa, you're looking at probably 40% of the people are 18 and younger. So we need to reach them. And so that's a part of what our ministry is about as well, and some of the guys that we're working with. So that was basically the geography of my recent trip. And there's Tony. If you remember, Tony was with us a while ago. I assist Tony to Africa. Tony is an African, and he's been in America now 19 years. By the way, praise the Lord, he's now a grandpop. Just yesterday, the oldest girl, Abigail, just had a baby. So they are completely rejoicing. Brother, they do it big. In Africa, anything like a funeral or a birth, it's a big thing. So Tony's there celebrating. So pray for him. Pray for me without him being in the office. A lot of that's fallen on me. But here he was on the radio and in Ghana, and tremendous ministry there. Let me see if this, you get a chance to, if this will play or not. I don't know if it will. I guess not that it matters at this point. Okay, there they are. You can't hear it, but anyway, there was a whole lot of dancing going on. You get them every time I go. I learn a few new dance moves, and this is how they celebrate. This is how they get with it. And Tony, they were welcoming Tony. Tony just got done doing a devotion. This is an indigenous people group with a staff of well over 100, and as they're serving there, they have a hotel. And they have all kinds of schools that they started. This gal could move. Look at that. Brother, I'll tell you, there's a couple of NFL teams that could use her as a running back. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy worshiping with our brothers and sisters in Africa. We have a good old, we get away with a lot of stuff over there we could never get away with here. And so, Tony enjoyed this. They're greeting him. I was afraid they were going to step on his toes, but this is Johnson. Oh, sorry, Johnson is one of the most remarkable guys, and he is an indigenous person who is very, very smart and is very involved in with businesses. And one of the things he's got here is literally this is a place where they're going to have weddings and have a hotel and so forth. And this is just one of his projects that he's raised. And we have helped him with this financially. But he's raised a lot of the money from this, from, shea butter and so forth. That was one of the reasons why we came over, because we need to find out how that process is going. We've had Americans who put substantial resources into it, and it was very good that we went to find out where some of the glitches that were going on and some of the issues, some of the problems they were having. And it was a very, very valuable trip there. And Johnson was just, his heart was full that we were there and be able to just kind of fellowship with him and to find out what was going on with his ministry. This is the hotel that part of the hotel that's already finished, and this is where we stayed, one of the nicer places I've stayed in Africa. And again, there are people that all over the country of Ghana that literally will go there and stay, and it's a profitable business, and so it helps him do the ministry. He has actually planted almost, I think it was 18 schools now that they have built. 18 schools. He's been doing this for 30 years. So 18 schools and all kinds of other ministries have been able to feed people. And this is really where the future needs to be in missions, where we're coming alongside and help people do the work of the ministry, but not only do the work, but help them supply the needs that they have. When we were in Zambia, we raised, on the campus there, we raised chickens. And after a while, those chickens not only fed, when I got there, we didn't have any meat for any of the meals. Before we left with the chicken houses, we had chicken for every meal if we wanted it. In addition to, we brought it to the brought the chickens to the market and sold them. So it was helpful to have some type of business. The problem is, as you go to, when you go to places in Africa, you will find that it's too often and too rare that the Africans own the business. They become almost slave labor for people that come in from other countries, from Asia and so forth, and basically take all their ingenuity, and China's big on this. China did it when we were in Zambia. China's doing it here now, where they come in and they take all the top-level jobs. They pay off the corrupt politicians in these countries, major money to them, and then the people, it never trickles down to them. They don't get that. So what we need to do is we need entrepreneurs. They need to be trained and taught how to be entrepreneurs and then have their own resources to do their ministry. And so, because it's easy for us to stand by and say, well, you know, we're going to make them on welfare and so forth and so on. You need to understand Africa. And Africa is not an easy place. And there's a reason why it's been struggling for so many years, decades and decades. And so now what do? Throw up our hands and say, well, we give up, or we're not going to invest in that anymore? I don't feel that way. So I feel like as the Lord allows me, as far as my foreign mission is concerned, my heart's in Africa to do and keep serving there and helping them from this end continue to work with them. This is the staff there. I get it up. And like I said, they're just great folks, love the Lord. Special people, and doing a good work for the Lord there, and they're very, very polite, very on time. They have these uniforms. They have a different uniform for every day of the week, and it's a different color, and it's really cool. You know, they come in, you could tell which day of the week it is by the color that they're wearing that week. You know, and they better have it clean and ready to go, and so very proficient. You see down here on the right, that's Johnson and Tony and I were having breakfast, and they always give you way too much to eat when we're there at their place. I mean, they just pound it. I guess they think I'm really skinny, you know, and that's why I said these shirts that they give me, I think I've got them fooling that I'm skinnier than I really am. But the bottom line is we had some really good discussions, some real vision, and this is something to pray about. The tomato, I don't want to bore you with all the business aspect of it, but this is relevant in that what we're trying to see established. He has a vision for being heavily involved in the tomato market there. Tomatoes are huge there. People love them. They make sauces. They call it a relish there on just about everything they eat, and tomatoes are involved in it. In Ghana alone, the tomato market is $400 million. Johnson, now this guy thinks big. He says, man, if I could just get 10% of that, you know, and what I can do for the kingdom with it. I can, with the schools I can build, the churches that we can have done, and I don't know about you, but man, I like a guy that thinks big. Amen? And we have a big God. He can do that. And so I'm not asking anybody to be involved in that financially. I am asking you to pray about it, okay, because this is really where it needs to be for Africa. If Africa is going to be the kind of place it needs to be for salvation of people, souls, the teaching of solid biblical doctrine, then we need to have them more financially independent. This is one of the schools that we went to, and this particular school, they're just starting to get involved in. They help do a lot of the buildings, but Islamic folks are pretty much are the ones that run it at times. There is over 1,000, now get this, there's over 1,000 students in this school, and there's not a bathroom. 1,000 students. Now, I wanted to be discreet, and I didn't want to be rude. I saw several kids come out and relieve themselves while I was there. I didn't take any pictures. But the bottom line was, you know, give the folks their privacy, but the point is it would have really made the point to see the people. You see a young lady go outside and is looking for a place and has to go over in the bushes and go to the bathroom. Not only is that how degrading that is, but think about how really the sanitation issue. And you could see that all over the ground there. And so, and sometimes what happens, kids run home to go and they don't come back. They don't come back to classes. And so one of the things I would like to do with my upcoming mission trips, I'm going to raise support to put a couple bathrooms in this place. And so pray for us about that. But they have an opportunity to share the gospel with folks. Most of these kids are fed through the ones you're seeing here now. They're fed through his ministry, Johnson's ministry, and some of the funds that he's already raised and helping to feed these kids. Many of these kids only have one meal a day and sometimes two. But, again, that's part of his ministry. And it would breaks your heart when you see this, my kids there. And, Luke, I'm sure you'll have comments about my photography. I have the most famous thumb in the world. I get it in all kinds of pictures. Hi. Sorry. Speaks for itself. And again, you see how dry it is. So I'll show you some more pictures. This is the dry season there. And again, we've been able to have many wells dug there for the folks. And there again, this is a village. People live. This is, this could be, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. When you come up on a place like this, these are villages. And these are, in some cases, people groups that need the gospel. And many of these are, and this is in Ghana, is a heavily Islamic area. And so they need the gospel. This is the road that, yes.
The vegetation?
I don't know. I don't think it was edible. But, good question. I don't know what it is. Actually, I didn't think about to ask that. But after what I saw on the ground, I didn't think I want to be eating it. But this is the road that we drove, or one like it, for about 5 hours. And when I got done, we were in an SUV, too. It wasn't a dinky little car. I literally had black and blue on both my elbows. They think it's a very great treat to put you on the front seat, I don't think it's a good thing to be in the front seat, because if you have an accident, you're going to get killed up there anyway. But the bottom line is then you have the armrest here and the armrest there, and the whole time I'm bouncing around. My elbows, I couldn't hardly bend my elbows afterwards because they're just bouncing around so much. But that's what it takes to get there, you see. And so what happens is you're not going to, more than likely, you and I aren't going to go there on a regular basis to minister. It has to be an embedded person who lives there and who wants to live there and who knows the culture, who knows the language, who knows the food. And so this is what we have there. We have Johnson trains them and teaches them and sends them out. And yes, actually, it's in, yes, Tamala, it's in probably 3/4 of the way up in Ghana. This is a some of the ladies there, and the lady there just very primitive cooking. That's her kitchen on the right there. This young girl, you see where it says on her shirt, kid camp. This is Johnson's camp. It's a kid camp. And literally thousands of kids have made professions at least and have been introduced to the gospel through his kid camps. And again, he finances these things. And the reason I know very much about that is because it's my responsibility to send the transfer of the funds over. And he hasn't received funds for us in 18 months. And so much of that, now he's accumulated some of those resources. But the bottom line is he has income coming in that he has developed. And we're grateful for that. But you see here also, this is a clinic. And 90% of the folks that come to this clinic are Islamic people. And it's a platform for the gospel, to love people, to reach out to them and talk to them. And so they were very polite to us. Johnson has a rapport to them. He's not there, and you'll see that many of the guys in Ghana, they're not looking to fight people. They're trying to bring the gospel to people and love people. And I think we can learn from that, even from the people that we don't necessarily, that consider us an enemy. We don't need to likewise respond that way. We need to love and pray for them. And so this is what these guys do. And again, there's some of the, and you'll see the, up on the right-hand corner, you see the mosque. No matter what the village is, they got to put that mosque there. And in some cases, the Islamic world doesn't even touch them financially, doesn't help them at all in these particular places. Why? Because they're not a there's not it's not a big deal place. It's not a place where they want to have all the influence that they'd like to have. So they don't really put money in. But they put money into that mosque, you see. They put money into the mosque. And so that's part of what's there. This is Tony sitting there checking out the goats. And this is the chief on the top left-hand side. You got to go visit the chief. And the chief, one of the things that they do is they give you a cola nut. Some of you older folks, you remember that commercial? This is a cola nut. Do you remember that? This is a cola nut. And that's what they give. It's a cola nut. That's kind of like a little, it's almost a charm to some folks. But it's the idea of it's a welcome gift to you when you come to the place. I was trying to find them. I have them somewhere at home. But they dried up and kind of shriveled up on me. But and that is his house there, that little shed there. So we went in, we sat down, we chatted with him. He's Islamic, and he greeted us and just was very kind to us. He was actually, they helped him up. He was sitting there. They helped him up, and he came over, and he kissed us all on the cheek and out of respect and was very grateful to the fact that we came and honored him as the chief of the village. You know, that would be a dishonor not to go there and respectfully chat with him and interact with him. And so that's what we have gone there. And this is the pastor there. Johnson raised this young man up in the ministry, taught him, discipled him. Now him and his wife, they live in that village. And they minister to people there on a regular basis. There's a well that we at A&M put in there, and this is one of our ministries that a well can cost anywhere from $2,500 to $5,000, and as you're going to see in a minute, this is huge, folks. This well, I didn't get a picture of it, but you see that tree line back there. Behind that tree line, there was a swampy type of a lake that where people were getting their water from, and it was so diseased, it was killing people. It was just awful. It was just horrendous. But, you know, you need some kind of something in the way of water. And so we raised funds, and, boy, that is a huge thing. And even there, they have to walk maybe a quarter a mile, half a mile, with some of these heavy buckets of water. I mean, you imagine putting one of those bad boys in your head and be able to walk. That's what they do. But to them, to us, that would be a hassle. To them, it's a great thing that they even have clean water at a place where they can get it, okay? That's another thing that we do with A&M, and it opens the way to the gospel. It opens the way to the living water that will never run dry, Jesus Christ. This is the dry season. And anybody want to guess what that they planted here? What is it? Sweet potatoes. That's right. Very good. Yeah. And just waiting for the rain. And, you know, that's the way it used to be in our country. Now we can go out and we produce water. We make water. We put it in there, and we spend the money to water it. They have to wait, and they're all kind of dependent on that and praying and so forth that there be rain. So there again, Tony and I sitting and discussing the future that we have with these guys. And, of course, that's their football. You know, if there's anything they're going to build, they're going to build a soccer field or a football stadium. And I think it was pretty new. And people go there, and people have been killed there because their team lost. So it's pretty crazy, although we have some of that going on in the United States sometimes too, don't we? That's why they call them fans, fanatics. Okay, this is a baobab tree, and this is very, in many cases, especially with the ancient religions and so forth, it's a sacred tree. And they truly, many of the ancestry people who are not Christians, and some of them still hold on to this, that there are spirits that live in there, that live in that tree. And that's animism and so forth. And so that's kind of sacred. You don't want to cut that thing down. And there was a tree in Ghana that they said it's 1,700 years old. Huge. And it's like, you know, huge. I said that kind of like Donald, didn't I? Huge. It's about 80 some feet high, and the width of it's 42 feet in the width. The diameter is 40 some feet. And so anyway, not this particular one, but there is one there. So again, there is that idea of that religion that people are still clinging to, still holding to. And you see it every once in a while. It's brought up in their conversation, even within Christian. So there is a kind of a combining of Christianity and some of the ancient religions. So how is important that we teach them solid, sound doctrine? And so we're seeking to do that. And but again, we're working with that ground of giving, being able to help them financially, help them and with their needs. This is Rocky Bell. He's way on up in near the border in Ghana. And Rocky Bell was, and his name, he took that name, Rocky Bell, because he was a boxer. And he literally was. He was the flyweight, what we consider the Golden Glove, flyweight champion of Ghana. Then he went into the pros, and he was the bantamweight champion, national champion of Ghana. The dude was a fighter. And a tough dude. And he is. He's a very kind of a serious guy, but precious man. And this is him and his son, Elias. Rocky Bell has been with us for 26 years with A&M, and he's just been a solid teacher of the word and a man who loves Islamic people and reaches out to them in a way that even in some of his books, and he's a prolific writer, and these are only some of his books, but Winning Without Attacking, Conquering Without Being Violent, you know, written by a boxer, right? But he is. He's got a sweet spirit about him. And his solid teaching, some good solid teaching that we've experienced in reading some of his books when I've been there. And where he put me, where I stayed, was owned by Islamic people. I mean, I literally went out one morning and I almost tripped over the guy doing his prayers and on his little prayer rug there. But they're very kind and respectful, and I just appreciate the way they're approaching the gospel there. And these are some children. I actually posted some things about these kids, and these youngsters hadn't even eaten that day. When we were there, they had not yet eaten, and it was in the afternoon, and they were waiting for the local pastor to come and feed them. And so it's hard to see that. That's a river. That's a river. That's a river in the dry season. So you can imagine how important it is to have a well. How we go over to a our faucet, and you just turn the faucet on and you get water. It doesn't happen there. Not in these villages. Now we're not in this case here. We're not talking about the city. We're talking about the villages. We're talking about people groups. When the Bible talks about nations, these are people groups that need to be reached, and they don't even have fresh water. Again, same picture from a distance. Now, when it rains, it will pour. And that thing will just flood through. Again, these are some of the children there. There's the old man sitting there getting ready to preach. And I didn't go there looking to preach. It wasn't even why I was there. But boy, they use you as a drawing card. You know, this was a Thursday night. And you could see this is from one angle as I'm teaching. This is the angle from outside looking in. It was overflowing. Hundreds of people coming. And boy, they're not quiet. Boy, they're not quiet, you know. I like it when I go somewhere in America where they say amen. Amen? Yeah, amen. At least oh me. But anyway, these guys, they just got with it, man. It's just a real blessing. And it's great because, you know, you have an interpreter. And those that know English, they get excited because they hear it in English. And you hear them, they respond, ooh, yeah, ooh, amen. But then you get the extra wave when the people who hear it in their native language, and they get it, and they say amen. So you get a double whammy coming over you. It's pretty cool. And there is I posted this, some guy. He's not dead. He's alive. But he's well-fed, okay? I didn't just come across him, by the way. He was well-fed. But you talk about have a tiger by the tail. I have one friend that told me up in Yukon, he said, Lou, you do realize that one of the most dangerous parts about a crocodile alligator is their tail. You know, didn't never cross my mind. But this this dude is pretty old. So I didn't quite, yeah, no crocodiles were harmed in the filming of this. But my wife says, I don't care about him. How about you? You all right? So, yeah, I stay far away from his teeth, you know. And you can see him, he's smiling, you know. So I mean, he's good about that. Just say, I hope this white boy gets a little closer. This is a Friday night, and the people gathered together, and there was many people outside in the windows, and you can't see them, but they're out there, and we just had a glorious time of worship together, just enjoying the word. Here now I'm in Togo. And Luma, and I think Emmanuel came here and visited with us. Emmanuel was on the radio there. Emmanuel reaches hundreds of thousands of people on the radio and the TV. And so one there, and my wife was saying, yeah, I needed makeup. You know, I needed something. But I didn't get on TV. They wanted me to get on TV. I said, you don't want to put me on TV. And so I just said, well, at least sit beside Pastor and we'll get a picture of you. So here is Emmanuel. And now Emmanuel came to America, and I wasn't that impressed by his ministry with us, you know, because his English is rough. He knows French and in the native language. And so I just really was interested to go see him in his context. This guy has started 18 churches. He went around, because I wasn't there on a weekend. I didn't get to see them filled up with a bunch of people at the time, and I was only there for like 18 hours or so. So he says, let me get some people together. I said, no, that's fine. We'll just get around and spend some time together. When he was on the radio talking, people were calling in, and you could hear them. I don't know what they were saying, everything, but they were crying, and they're just weeping. And he just poured his heart out. And after we left there, after he was on there for 45 minutes and people were calling him for 15 minutes, his phone kept ringing. People just calling him and asking for prayer. And he stops and prays for them. And to see him in his context, in his world, I was so impressed. I was so encouraged. And so I'm so glad I got a chance to see him as he operates with his people. And it just, and shame on me, I was judging him by him trying to operate in our context. If I was there trying to operate in his context, not knowing the language and everything, I'd be very restricted. The dude was so free. He's so free in the spirit, being able to share. It just filled my heart to see him as he operated and his love for people. That's one of his churches that he has. Again, this was on an off day. I think it was Tuesday morning or so. And this is children in one of the schools and in Togo that we help support. Kujo is a guy here and in this country. And it's a huge school. It's a big school of over 800 students. And just the kids are all respectful, all with uniforms. And we thank the Lord. And by the way, they were very proud of their bathrooms. They have bathrooms. And they kept showing me the bathrooms. They said, we have bathrooms. Look at our bathrooms, you know. And it's like, can you imagine going to somebody, you got to see my bathroom. They were really, you know, I mean, porcelain was queen, man. It was a big deal with them. And so they were just showing us, look, we have these bathrooms. And so every floor, this is a three-story buildings. And so it was a real blessing. And this is a Christian school. And by the way, people pay to go to the school. Now they do have scholarships, and they do help young people who need help, and some of the orphans and so forth. But there are other people who want a good education for their children, and they're paying for the school, and it pays for itself because of that. You see, so which is pretty cool. And so it's another one of those indigenous projects. This is the faculty. I had a chance to go and share with them and the older kids, the secondary age kids. And we taught on the life of Joseph. And it's always encouraging me to hear these guys as they share, you know, when they're interpreting something, because I want to stop and listen to them. I said, well, I don't even know what they're saying, but it sounds better than what I just said. And so you're just appreciative of these guys as they get with it. And this is a lot for the future clinic in Togo. I share with some of you that one of the reasons why we were going to this particular place is to go spot out the thing, and they were going to send some major funds with me, but they were able to find a person that they could get wire the funds to, so I didn't have to bring tens of thousands of dollars there. But this is the lot, so as you think about it, it's not going to be a veterinarian's, but it's going to be where people are, and it's right next adjacent. Thank you, you got that. Somebody's paying attention. Yeah, that poor dog, he could use a vet. But all the way over to where all the ground is clear, that's going to be the size of the clinic. And the clinic is going to also not only minister to the students, it's going to minister to the whole area there. It's just going to be a place where people can come, and a birthing center. It's going to be a place where people get healing and so forth, and then they can hear the gospel. And there's great freedom of it because it's going to be run by the Christian organization. And so I'm grateful for that. So it's basically, there's a lot. We saw a lot, but if you want to talk to me about it later, I'd be glad to share more with you. Let me say this. I do not believe in accidents, but I believe in an almighty and a sovereign God. He has led me to A&M to serve, and in so doing, he led us, my family, to this church to serve. You know that. Some of you know the story, but the idea is I was literally coming to this church when I was working with A&M. I had just started. I was bringing somebody here that you guys had already supported, Peter, from South America. And in so doing, that's where I met Shannon and you folks. And so I don't believe any of those things are an accident. God has his hand in our lives. And some people just struggle with that. Let God be God, amen? Why do you want to run the show? You know, I ran my show for 25 years, and I ran it into a ditch, amen? I'm grateful to have a God that can rule and reign in our lives. And so so allow me to change hats from a missionary to a mission-driven pastor with you just for a few minutes, okay? You ever see this? Right? How many people have flown before? You've flown, right? What's going on here? What are they telling you? You're putting, in the unlikely event that we should lose cabin pressure, I hope it's unlikely, you know, but in the unlikely event, if we have a water landing, you know how that goes. And do you know what part of this, do you remember what part of this, what they say? What do they tell you about your man? Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Please affix your mask first before you try to help somebody else. Listen, folks. We need to make sure our mask, our breath of life, is affixed before we go help anywhere else out there. And one of the privileges I have as a pastor and a man on this side of the country, this part of the world, and when I go to missions conferences and I go to different churches to speak, I always hit on this issue. You can't help them unless you are walking with him here. If we're not connected correctly, if we're not breathing in the breath of life, if Jesus, when he sent them, he breathed on them, if we don't have that connection, we'll be suffocating ourselves. And how important it is that we take in. I'm going to read. I wish I could read the whole chapter, but I won't. I'm just going to read 17, 13 through 20, actually, of John 17. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now see, again, now Jesus is speaking about all the things he's already said now, okay, that you can have joy. He wants these guys to have joy. He wants us to have joy, true joy, okay? So he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for this sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only. Now, this is you and me now. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. See? And this passage, and John itself, you know, Thursday night there was this discussion on particular redemption. Look, I don't have to convince you of that. Just read what the Bible says. If you just read John 17, you just read John 10, you just read the Gospel of John, and you'll see God had a people, has a people. And the Father did his job. The Son did his job. Don't you think the Holy Spirit can do his job? He does his job. He regenerates. He calls his people. He works with his people. But the result of our mission is joy. The power of the mission is the real encounter with Christ. Listen, the reason why many people don't have joy, don't let this go over your head, okay? Just listen for a moment. The reason why many people don't have joy is because they have no purpose for their life. They are drifting through this world with no real purpose for their life. It always catches people off guard when I do premarital counseling and I ask the couple, what's your goal for your marriage? What do you mean goal for your marriage? No, what's your goal? What do you want to do with your life? What's your life about? And you want to find a miserable people. It's people who have no goal, no mission for life. By the way, the word mission is all through this because we get the word send in Latin is the word we get the word mission from. So literally when he says send, he's really talking about mission. Years ago, I remember sitting at the University of Connecticut, and I was lost my last year there, and I remember this song by Jackson Browne. I told you I was going to talk a little pop culture. Now, some of you guys may not know this, but this oddly enough, this had an impact on me, and I'm sitting there, and it's called The Pretender. And he says, I'm going to be a happy idiot and struggle for the legal tender. That's money. Okay. Where the ads take aim and they lay their claim to the heart and the soul of the spender and believe in whatever may lie in those things that money can buy, though true love could have been a contender. Does true love is true love contending for your life and your affections? And you say, well, I'm not into money. Well, maybe it's position, maybe it's popularity, maybe it's that girl that you want, guys, or that guy, you know, but it's some idol in your life. You're just going to chase it until you go to the grave. Say a prayer for the pretender who started out so young and strong only to surrender. Say a prayer for the pretender. Are you there for the pretender? Say a prayer for the pretender. Are you there for the pretender? Are you prepared for the pretender? Are we a pretender? A friend of mine who sat with me in that cabin on the right outside the University of Connecticut on Coventry Lake just contacted me this week. He was there when we listened to this. Al McCullough, he was one of my ends in college. He says, man, Lou, I remember that. And he says, I remember us just sitting there just going, just wondering. And I believe it was starting the process of God dealing with my heart. I don't want to be a pretender. I want true love to be a contender. By the way, it was a record. You guys don't know what a record is. It was vinyl. It went around like this. That sounded better anyway. It was so cool. We loved them. But I remember clearly, Gary, you know that time frame. Yeah. Rebecca's too young for that, but I went, Rebecca, Gary does. You know, and it just struck me, you know. And it, because you know what? Shallow, isn't that interesting? The number one, you know, a big thing, Oscar-winning song is Shallow. You know, because the world knows there's a problem. They just don't know and want to know the truth. They don't really have the answer. See, it's easy to point out the problem. Many of us know the problem. And lost people, even, they know the problem. They feel the problem. They know the problem. It's set up for us to go with the truth, you see. You got to have both truth and love. See, if you have truth and not love, you're not going to be motivated to go tell the people the truth. And if you have love and no truth, really, you have no answer for people. But the beauty of the scriptures and Christianity, we've got the truth and we have love. Real love. And real love can be a contender for your life. It doesn't need to be in Africa. It could be right here in America. It could be what Rebecca's doing with the young people where she's at. But let me ask you something. Or are we just pretenders? Are we just pretenders? Are we just saying we believe Christ, but it never manifests itself? Look, if you have that inside you, you have that intensity, and it starts pushing itself out, that pressure. It's the difference between, you know, you have a little spray bottle, and you turn it, and it sprays, and it kind of diffuses everything. But then you turn it again, and it gets it focused. There's power in that. Let me tell you something. Some of us need to get focused and let that power of that truth pour through us. Focus on the gospel. Focus on the people who need the gospel. And God will, like a laser, make a difference. You know, you can cut steel with a laser, right? As opposed to it being distilled. These ladies here, I met them years ago when I was at a mission conference, my wife and I. They actually put us up in this house. We were in Iowa, in Des Moines. And these gals were in the bottom part of it, and Iris and I were up front. And I met these two gals were from Jamaica. And Dr. Correll and Dr. Miriam. Dr. Correll is actually a medical doctor, and Dr. Miriam, she has got her PhD, and they both combined together, and they work with this group, Faith and Works, combined together. They went from Jamaica. Miriam came from a wealthy family. She was very rich. She turned her back on that when she heard the gospel. She went to a meeting, and she heard the gospel, and she started weeping. So weeping. And her friend says, something happened to you. Yeah. She wasn't going to be a pretender. The Holy Spirit regenerated her and manifested and focused her life, gave her a mission besides making money, which her family had already made. And they kind of disrespected her and turned her back. And Dr. Correll was a well-known operating doctor, had her own practice in Jamaica. They left it all and went to Liberia to serve. And when they were in Liberia, if you remember when the Ebola hit and everybody took off, not these two gals. They stayed. They stayed and served. I tell you, every time I saw them, I got humbled. I mean, I was embarrassed. Here I am, the keynote speaker, and I said, all I could do was stand in front of people and say, look at these guys. There's your message. You say, Brother Lou, I didn't come here to get disturbed. Man, it's okay. Get disturbed. Let us all be challenged. I'm not saying you need to go to Africa. I'm just saying get focused. And you young folks, have a mission. You have a mission. A missionary sandwich. Notice if you see here in 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And then he says, as you sent me, he's praying to the Father, so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So he's talking about sending, but before that he says, sanctify them. He says, send them, sanctify them. The reason why we don't see more, the reason why I am not as more effective than I should be, because the work of the Spirit in sanctification isn't manifesting itself enough in my life. And I need to have that. I need that work of the Spirit in my life to be continually working in me and through me for the sake of the gospel. You know what that is? What is that? That's a light bulb. What's the problem? She ain't connected. That's not the only problem. Now look at it. What else? That's right, it's dirty. Two things that would considerably restrict its ability to present light. Number one, first of all, it's not connected to the source. And number two, it's dirty. Let your light so shine among and before men that what? That your Father which is in heaven be glorified. See, look, folks, we need to have the truth and we need to have love. And love is manifested in the way we operate with our... Today we started off talking about how we as a fellowship should be caring for each other and for the world. May God manifest himself through us as we're connected to the Word and the Lord. Because everywhere in the Scriptures, and you've heard me say this, I preach this in Africa. Every time you see God calling the people out to himself, he calls them to himself. They get a vision of who he is, and then they go out. Isaiah comes into the temple, Isaiah chapter 6. All of a sudden, he gets a vision who God is. He said, woe is me, I'm undone. The Lord touches him from the altar with a coal, cleans him up. And immediately, what does Isaiah say? Hear my Lord, send me. When we get a vision for who God is, God draws us closer. Moses, that bush over there. Who is this? The I Am. When he meets the I Am, he says, well, he sends him. Samuel, sends him. Saul, who's that? I'm Jesus, who you are persecuting. He draws him, sets him aside for a couple of years, trains him, teaches him, he gets to know him, and we don't do this. We don't come to church and even go to Bible study simply to take in a bunch of facts. The Word of God is a sanctifying thing that in our lives comes in, it sanctifies us to move us out, to reach out to the world. So let me ask you, is your light plugged in? Are you connected? I'll finish with this. Several years ago, the Lord was dealing with me, and I was struggling with it. And I sat down and I wrote this. It was just before I went into missions. Not me, Lord. And I was thinking about Moses. I said, not me, Lord. You're making a mistake. Not me, Lord. In front of people, my knees shake. Not me, Lord. There are others with much more talent. Not me, Lord. You want a bold witness, and my fear keeps me silent. Not me, Lord. You know, I don't know all the answers. Not me, Lord. My apathy has spread like a cancer. Not me, Lord. My past failures still haunt me. Not me, Lord. I seek refuge in my selfish security. Not me, Lord. Let someone else be embarrassed and rejected. Not me, Lord. I want to stay where I'm warmly accepted. Not me, Lord. I love my cozy surroundings and home. Not me, Lord. I'll ignore you until you leave me alone. You don't want to be left alone. You don't want to be left alone. Are you on mission? It's not about geography. It's about your godly walk with him and wherever he's placed you. Father, I pray that you will speak to your people as you only can, for your honor, for your glory, in Jesus' name.